This is CKLB, the voice of Den and Day. I'm Stacey Arden-Smith, and you're listening to Take the Road Less Traveled, but always wear good moccasins.
There since time immemorial, and I love Lutzokay with all my heart. Love the people, I love the land, and I try to go home a few times a year, and the land is just so important to me.
I'm so pleased that you gave me some time. Wanted to speak with you on kind of your journey so far and how you got to where you are.
My journey so far, I always loved beading and creating because I watched my matriarchs, my great-grandmother Marie, my grandma Madeline Marlowe, my mom Kathy Marlowe, all my aunties, my uncle's wives. Like, I grew up communally in Lutzokay, and every house that you went to always had beading or sewing on the table. Lutzokay is a very isolated community, and the cost to bring Western items to the community is so astronomical. Groceries, fabrics, sewing machines, furniture, you name it. And so because I feel like materials were hard to get, the women in Lutzokay really take, and the elders from back then really took the time in their craftsmanship, like beading every bead down and reusing blankets, anything, never throwing a piece of fabric away. It could have been a liner incorporated into something. And I think what made me fall in love with the beading is it's a way that I connect with my grandmothers and these ladies. But these ladies took these discarded items and they made the most beautiful garments. Like, just so unbelievably and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And growing up to that love of that craft, because we call it handicrafts, because we beautified our tools. Dockets a tool, your mukluks, your hat, your mitts, those are tools, right? They're handicrafts.
Yeah.
So to me, the sewing represents community, unity, Lutzokay, all those elderly ladies. They were strict, but they taught us well. And when I bead and my grandma said it was beautiful, I always wanted to bead better and better because I loved her. She was such a good artist herself. And I loved how she complimented and praised me.
Well, that's amazing.
She used to cut my bead lines. I'd be like, look, grandma. And she'd be like, cricket, cut the bead lines, separate the beads, redo it. And I think because of that, I don't bead with a pattern. I don't bead on paper, ink. To me, beads are like my paints. Mm-hmm. I can do mirrored images without any paper design.
Now that is a talent.
Yeah. And my grandma never said no to me. She was actually my very best friend. I love my grandma with all my heart. And she'd always give me, when she was doing something, she knew I wanted to do it, even at 3, 4, 5, 6. So she'd always give me little scraps. You know, like try to make like clothes out of socks, Barbie clothes, doll clothes. Like growing up with nothing, you have to learn to make something out of everything and nothing.
Repurposing everything.
Yeah, like every use, like everything they did, our elders did, has a purpose. It's fine-tuned technology. You don't question it, you just do it. Because they're saving all those hours of learning something and they're passing on that fine-tuned knowledge just to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like that fine-tuned knowledge, especially in the fashion industry, indigenous fashion up north, and I don't feel like it's praised enough, and I've advocated for years. Fashion is culture.
It tells a story.
Yeah, and we have some good, amazing designers in the north, but I'm Chipewyandene from Lutzokay. You know, I represent us, Treaty 8. I can't speak for other nations, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I make clothes for Treaty 8, I want Treaty 8 to be the proudest. I want to make sure that I represent them 100%.
So it's kind of been your driving force when you're creating is representing your people.
It is, because the whole thing about me is my grannies. I carry on their legacy. They gifted me these tools to share. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, like, you need to understand it. It doesn't matter what your dream is. Like, I have two sons, and I always tell them there's two things that can never be given to you. You have to earn those two things in life for yourself. And that's happiness and education.
Yep.
I wouldn't be here today without education. That's one thing my grandma always said, go to school. And I was telling my son, I did math 10 three times. I did math 11 four times. I failed, dropped out, but I went back to upgrading. Wanting to be something, it's not about the destination. Like you said, it's about the journey. Mm-hmm. So like, I went to upgrading in Whitehorse, Yukon. Absolutely love Yukon. Just the way the city embraces the culture there, like, Yukon to me makes me feel so proud to be an Indigenous when I go to Whitehorse.
What does it mean for you to be able to follow your dreams?
I remember when I first decided in Grand Prairie a long time ago, I was like, I want to be a designer. And someone looked at me and said, who do you think you are? You can't be a designer. I said, anybody could be anything as long as they try. And they're like, yeah, it'll take 10 years. And you know what? I entered a contest there. And this is how much resistance, you know, this was like in 2013. I made this garment, the black corset with the beading and the shrug and the dress, because that's so Dene, you know what I mean? By couture. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And so I entered that in the contest, and they told me, oh, this is not wearable art. And I said, yes, it is. This is Indigenous wearable art. I said, art is in the eye of the beholder. So to have the guts to write, to stand up for yourself, even, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this was during, like, cultural days. So I entered that dress, and I won first place.
And how did that make you feel when you won?
Validated, because I had to fight for that spot. And so what I want to tell the youth is, nothing is given to you on a silver platter. You know, as a young people too, like, we've been taught to suppress everything. But speaking out for yourself in a kind, professional way doesn't make you a bad person. It's the education that I will push, because going to UConn allowed me to go to University of Simon Fraser. And I always wanted to be a lawyer, and I was doing everything to be a lawyer. But then I had my son. So, you know, things change, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's how I started sewing, was re-sewing professionally. I was home, and I was used to studying and reading and having this other dream. So that's how I started sewing a lot, and I entered that contest. And then I applied for like 5 grants, and we were rejected for all of them. So, and then the one guy called me, from the grant guy. He said, Tishna, set up a meeting. He says, your grants are good, but due to the technical part, that's where I had difficulty. Was I knew how to tell a good story and pictures and everything, but I didn't know how to do the technical parts of a grant.
What point did you know that you made it as a designer? Or has that even clicked in yet?
Imposter syndrome. Never good enough. Always got to push yourself harder, harder, harder. But at the end of the day, imposter syndrome is us creating an ideology when we're not just living our day-to-day life. Like, when you create an ideology, you create anxiety, you create expectation, pressure, stress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just got to do your thing. One thing leads to another.
Yeah.
I've done shows with 10 people in the audience, you know,
mm-hmm.
the thousands. And I never looked down at any show just because they had 10. I gave it my 110%. And I tried to be good friends with all my designer friends, because there was hardly any when I started. When I started, I was looking up to Pam Baker from Touch of Culture, Patricia Priche, she was in the 80s, you know, Anja DeMonte, Tammy Bouvier, Issa Tatusis, like Rhonda Johnson. These girls were in the early 90s, these two. Knowing the history of what your dream is too.
Did you ever get to meet any of them?
All of them.
Really?
Indigenous fashion family, fashion is my family. It's like any typical family, you know? The earlier ones, like the ones that had to pave the way, because there was no platforms, Indigenous platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And then this woman named Kim Coltman, from BC, Dare to Dream too, and created a fashion show called Fashion Speaks. And so she invited a whole bunch of artists, singers, designers, and we all got together and we threw a show for Indigenous fashion. And then Ashley Collingbull had just been crowned like 3 weeks prior, and they hired her and her mom to come to our show.
Oh, wow. How was that?
It was amazing. Ashley Collingbull. And you know, if we want our people to succeed in movies, singing, painting, film, we got to support them too.
Mm-hmm.
Our people are, there's so many beautiful, talented, amazing people in all communities across the North High Arctic. We have lots of talent. We just don't have platforms. And then we have the crabs in the buckets and then no financial support because.
Oh yeah, there's limitations here.
There's so much limitations, like even getting one kid out of the community to Yellowknife. Yep. And then the hotel.
Well, I mean, just like you were saying, there's limitations even getting food to communities. So if it's limited to get food to communities, it's limited to get opportunities.
Like I just got my own studio here in Calgary, but I teach private lessons, group lessons. Yeah. So my program that I do is called Sacred Sewing Circle, and it's sewing anything and everything, and it's teaching technical skills like zippers. Like when I go into communities, it's their designs they use, but I teach them like the technical parts of it.
Yeah.
And I've done a few programs for my community, and one of the things that I do is I bring in everything, because like you said, they have limitations even to fabrics, notions, sewing machines. So in my program, I always make sure that I bring everything, and then whatever I have left, I tell the women they can split amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have one more question for you. What is the most memorable wearable art that you have created?
I've got a few good pieces. The caribou moose hide ensemble. The moose hide ensemble, the beaded moose hide ensemble with the flared fur at the below the knees.
Mm-hmm.
That silhouette, because the beading I did in 6 weeks, it represents my son, his future. There's a bud there for his future generation, my son, me, my mom, my grandma, and my great grandma, and my great great grandma, Caroline. So it represented 7 generations. So my beading always tell a story. And then there's the bone dress, because they're both competition. That's a really rare dress. Mm-hmm. Even the art form is rare itself. So that dress came to me in a dream. And in that dream, it was when you're in Litsokay and you look out to the lake and it's just snowing, that snow, big snow that falls down. Mm-hmm. Without the wind blowing it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see nothing. Just snowflakes. And so in my dream, there was a figure walking towards me. And at first it came that there was no figure. And then it came darker and darker and then clearer and clearer. She was wearing that dress. It was my great, 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 great grandma from a long time ago. And then she gave me that dress. She said, make it and they will remember. And so I made that dress. And it sits in a vault in the Prince of Wales Museum in Yellowknife.